Psalm 103. While you're turning there, we had one to be baptized, but then we had to call it off, you know, when this started. So I saw that thing on Facebook. I'm going to get me one of those things from the Shriners where you pay to throw the ball at the target and drop the guy in the water. And that's how we're going to start social distance in baptism. I'll write a scripture on the softball and I'll throw it at the target and she can get baptized if I ever hit it. So, I'm teasing. Won't be long. We'll meet back on these beautiful shores. Psalm 103. You know, God's good to us. God's good to us. If he never gave us another thing, we're better than we've ever been since he saved us. And let me tell you something. Everything that goes through the hand of God's a blessing in the end. So I thought about today, maybe we ought to get our mind off of COVID and coronavirus and doctors on TV and politicians on TV talking about this stuff. And you know, the psalm says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and you'll see what the Lord had done. Now, I'm going to name you just, don't get excited. I'm just going to name six things here. Turn to Psalm 103. I want to read the whole psalm though. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That's enough to make you run the aisle right there. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his commandment and those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I like that. A whole chapter of bless the Lord. Now, but he's blessed us. And it gives several examples there. And I want to show you just a few things about the blessings from God on us. Number one, look at verse 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. I wrote down here, he fixes us. We were broken. He fixes us. Now, if you're honest, you'll have to say we're all sin sick. We've got a virus called sin, and it has spread from human being to human being since the rebellion in the Garden of Eden, and has brought many, many, many judgments and millions, multiplied millions, billions, billions of deaths, because the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. We were fallen as the sons of Adam. We had fallen and could not get up without the help of the Lord God. And he says, forget not all his benefits. Well, what's some of his benefits? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Boy, that's a benefit. That is number one benefit. Young people don't do it now, but as older folks, when we would go get a new job, we wanted to see the benefits. They had benefits. They say, well, we have this benefit package. We'll pay half of your health insurance. We'll give you some life insurance. We'll give you a week or two of vacation a year. We'll give you maybe some sick days. We got this place up in the mountains you can go, or down at the beach you can go. Had benefits. And sometimes we would choose the jobs by the benefits. That 401k plan or retirement plan, whatever it might be. And it might have not exactly paid as much money, but the benefits sure paid more than the company before that, and it added up to more money. So, well, remember the benefits. God forgives us of all our iniquities. We were fallen. And as you go on, you'll see he throws them in the sea of forgetfulness. He puts them as far as the east is from the west. Another passage says he puts them behind his back to remember them no more. And the benefits, he fixes us. We were broken, and the best benefit we got out of that deal, we had nothing to put in, and he put everything in. Nothing in my hands I bring, only to the cross I cling. That's my benefits. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He fixes us. We tried to quit. We couldn't quit sinning. We tried to be better. But everywhere we'd get better, a not so good would pop up somewhere. Because of our sin nature. Our nature was broken. Sometimes people in some love songs and all, you know, they say follow your heart. Well, the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked, and no man can know it. You can't trust your heart, because you know why? Your heart's broken. It's not right. Your spirit's not right. Your mind's not right until you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he fixes you. He gives you a new mind, new heart, new spirit, and he gives you a new way. Thank God. He fixes us. We were broken. Look at verse 4. Who redeemed thy life from destruction? Who redeemed thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Did you know he frees us? He redeemed our life. You know what that word redeemed means? My mom used to go to the Winn-Dixie grocery store. Most every grocery store did it back then when I was little. And you go to the grocery store and you pay for your groceries, and this machine was there. And when they entered the total, that machine would start putting out a stream of stamps, just little old stamps like a postage stamp. And those stamps could be saved. They'd give you a little book to put the stamps in. You could line them up, you know, to keep track of your stamps, and a whole book of stamps. And then you could go to one of their stores that they set up, and you could pick out maybe a toaster or an egg beater or a lamp, or sometimes for the lot, thousands and thousands of stamps. And but they called that redeeming those stamps, see. You had invested money in them. They had invested some money by giving you the discount. And now you get to go in there and you get to swap those worthless stamps. They're worthless anywhere else, but you get to give that to that store, and they give you something good for something that really worth nothing. And that's exactly what God did. He gave you eternal life. He redeemed you from the cost of sin, death, hell, and the grave. He bought you back. You were a slave to the sin, and you were on the slave block, and God, through the payment of the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, he paid for our sins, and he redeemed us. He bought us back from the old devil and sin. He redeemed us. He didn't just fix us, he bought us back. Now he owns us. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians. We've been bought with a price. He's bought us back. We don't have to live like slaves anymore. We don't have to live like spiritual slaves anymore. We can be free. He has redeemed us. And then I want you to look at verse 4 again. Look at verse 4. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now he took old dirty, rotten, sin-defiled sinner, bought you back by the blood of Jesus because you turned to him and trusted him. And then after he bought you, he put a crown on you. He put a crown on you. Look at it again. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's something you didn't have before he gave you a new spirit. He regenerated your spirit. You were reborn. Your spirit was dead in trespasses and sin. And by the blood of Jesus, it was regenerated when he bought you back. And then now, he's give you a heart of tender mercies. I like that. And a heart with loving kindness. You didn't know how to love anybody before you got saved. Oh yeah, preacher, I love, no. No, you held people dearly, you were fond of people, and in some cases you lusted, but you didn't love. Because God is love, and if you don't know God, you can't know love. Not real love, not true love, not the love of God. The love of God is the kind of love that is merciful and tender, and when it does something, it does it seeking nothing in return. That's the grace of God, undeserved love. And so, he bought you. And then he crowned you. He fashions you, in other words. That crown means he's put a crown on you, which makes took you from a pauper to a prince or a princess. And now he changes you from inside out. He makes you a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And God did that. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Not only did he fix you because you were broken, and not only did he free you from the power of death, hell, and the grave, you don't have to worry about going to hell because of sin. You don't have to worry about dying because of sin. And not only did he do that, but he fashions you. He makes you into a new person, from a pauper to a prince or a princess, and he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And now you know how to love. You know how to give love out without expecting anything in return. And then he didn't just do that. But look at verse 5. In verse 5 it says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. He satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Boy, I like that. You know what that means? We used to be satisfied by what we fed this old flesh of the world. Wasn't happy unless we were eating something of the world. You know, some of the filthy things, the words, the ways, the drink, the behavior. We're taking it in, taking it in. And we didn't like the taste of godly things. They were bitter to us because we were not part of the family of God. So we'd go to church and the preacher would preach and everybody would be smiling and shouting, amen, that's good preaching. And you'd be sitting there mad because it was bitter to you because you knew that you were judged and you were condemned by the word of God to his preaching and you wanted to blame the preacher. Yeah. But then one day you realize it wasn't the preacher talking to you, it's the word of God, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You turned and you said, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong, that's repentance. You said, I need a Savior, I believe Jesus died for me, and you received him, that makes you saved. So now, he fills you, he satisfies you with good things. As a child of God, any of us, all of us that are saved, as a child of God, we're not satisfied with the old life anymore. Our flesh would be, but the real us in here that's been regenerated and renewed and sanctified and made holy, this thing's not going to be happy being filled with the things of the world. This thing is going to be happy by being filled with the word of God, the things of God, the ways of God. And listen, the Bible says it's sweeter than the honeycomb. Now, whenever we try to fill ourselves with the things of this world, they don't satisfy us. They never did. And sometimes we'll forget that, and we're not satisfied until we turn to Him. Let Him fill us with the good things. So He fixes us. We were broken. We were born wrong. He frees us from the way we were born as slaves of sin. Then He fashions us into a child of God, as you would want to fashion your child into somebody like you. And then He fills us, not only with the Word of God, but with the Spirit of God. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, so many people misunderstand this, but He's talking to church there, and He's knocking on the door, and He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." And we use that to tell people they get saved, Jesus will come in, and He will. But He comes in the form of the Holy Spirit. He takes abode in us. He lives inside of us. And so when we accept Christ, He fills us with His power and His presence. Now, sometimes that's more obvious than other times. Sometimes as you seek more of Him, it's more obvious to people. He'll give you more power, more presence of His. But He fills us. So let me read that verse again. Verse 5. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, good things. And so He fills us with good things. He satisfies us. Nothing else will. And then look at the next part of that verse. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now skip down to verse 13 and 14. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He knows how we're built. He remembereth that we are dust. He fathers us. He becomes our father. And our youth is renewed when we're born again. When you're born again, you're renewed like being born. And then after He births you again, He doesn't just throw you out there in the dirt to get along by yourself. Then He fathers you as a child of His. And then just as you and I look at our children sometimes, if you have them, or your grandchildren or niece or nephew or whatever, but children in general, as we look at children, sometimes we pity them because we know what they're made out of, and they're made out of the same stuff we are, and we know how hard we had it trying to do right, live right, end up right. And we have to remember, just like He remembers, you're made out of dust. That goes all the way back to Adam again, doesn't it? Wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men, Romans 5:12 says. So therefore, listen, you are made out of dirt. I wouldn't get too proud of myself. I don't. I try not to. But we're made out of the same thing Adam was made out of. Dirt. And God knows what's inside of us. But He adopted us. He saved us. Now He keeps us. He preserves us. He feeds us. He nourishes us. He's promised to take us all the way through into glory. But sometimes He had to stop and look at us and say, man, they don't know what they're really made out of. They're just made out of dust. And if it wasn't for my grace, they'd be in a mess. And so He pities us. I like that. He fathers us just as we would a poor, helpless little. Sometimes I look at my grandchildren, you know, 3, 5, whatever, and I sit there and I look at them and I think, you just don't know how hard this is. You just don't know. You just don't know. They think we're all smiles and everything's wonderful, you know, Nana and Pawpaw, you know, and everything's wonderful. But if you think ahead what they're going to have to go through, you'll pity them. Now, I'm glad a father does that. A father doesn't get mad at their children every time they make a mistake. We do sometimes, but we shouldn't do that every time because, listen, they're made out of the same dirt we're made out of. And they have the same sinful tendencies we do. Well, to pity them as God pities us. Thank God for His pity. That's called mercy. He has mercy on us. Look at verse 17, we'll show us that. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. He said, not only is he merciful to you for believing, but he's going to be merciful to you and your children and your children's children. If you'll fear God and you'll follow him, they'll get the same benefits because they'll do the same thing. Everybody follows somebody. Sometimes I hear some proud man say, I don't follow anybody. Yeah, we all follow somebody. His mercy endured forever. Psalm, one of the Psalms, I think it's 26, 126. I think it says it about 20-something times. His mercy endured forever. His mercy endured forever. His mercy endured forever. Thank God, verse 17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. His mercy never runs out. If you're lost today, his mercy is for you, waiting on you. If you're saved today, he's having mercy on you right now. If you're sick today, he's having mercy on you. If you're alive today, he's having mercy on you. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. That means every day, all day long, his mercy will not run out. And I'm looking forward to his mercy. Some people say, well, I'm looking forward to judgment. I'm not looking forward to the judgment. I want mercy. I don't want justice. I don't want justice. Don't give me justice. If I got what I deserve, I'd be in a big mess, and so would you. Let's call on him for his mercy during these times of trial. Call on him for mercy for your house. Get up every day and don't complain about not going to church. Read your Bible. Pray. Take it a bit of time of quietness and getting away from everything. Jesus did. He went in the garden and prayed. He went out in the wilderness for 40 days. John the Baptist did. Paul did. Moses did. Get off by yourself and seek the mercy of God and thank him for it. Now, I don't know about you, but I got saved March the 5th, 1978. And, guess what? I'm glad of his mercy today. And you ought to be too. If you don't know him, call on him, ask him for mercy on you. If you're sick, call on him, ask him for mercy to heal you. If you're not sick, call on him, ask him for mercy that you won't get sick. Put a hedge around you. Call on him, ask him for mercy on your family so they'll be saved. Your church so that it will grow and people will be saved and baptized. And for the rest of this week, he'll give you mercy. And you stay away from things that will make you sick or make you sin sick. You come out from among them. Be you separate. That's a Bible term. Now, you do that. And I'll guarantee you, you'll be a winner. I'll guarantee it. Father, I ask you today, you know who's looking, you know who's listening. I ask you today, God, to shed your grace upon us today, on our country, on our churches, on our local church, on our local church members, Lord. Please have mercy on us. Heal our land physically and spiritually, Lord. Send us an old-fashioned revival. And then, Lord, these that are watching, I pray you to make yourself real to them. Let them feel your power, your presence, your comfort, your courage. And one day we're going to look back and we'll see what was going on. And we'll praise you for what happened during this time. Until then, help us to trust you. If there's one that's not saved today and you want to be saved, pray this prayer. Turn to the Lord. That's repentance. And pray this prayer. Father, forgive me. I know I'm a sinner, but I don't want to go to hell. And I believe Jesus died for my sins. And the best way I know how, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my heart and save me. In Jesus' name. Now let me tell you something. If you meant that, he meant that. Y'all have a good week. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. No, I'll see you tonight at 6. I'll see you tonight at 6. Okay? Y'all come back now. You're here. Love you. Bye.